Hello, this is Andy Cates from London.
And this is Tian Yong Woon from Singapore.
And thanks everyone for taking the time to listen to this latest edition of Haver's weekly podcast. So this week we're going to talk about the further flare-up of instability in the Middle East, its impact so far, and the risks it presents to the global economic outlook from here. Chen Yong will then say a few words about China, its latest data releases in particular, and then briefly discuss India's general elections. And we will then, as usual, just summarise some of the key events and data points to look out for over the next few days. And before we kick off, just a reminder that all of the views that we express on this podcast are our own, and they're not the views of Haver Analytics. So investors have, on the whole, become increasingly cautious about the global economic outlook in recent days, just in light of the heightened geopolitical instability in the Middle East. That Fed Chair Powell has also expressed greater concern about the US inflation outlook hasn't really helped matters, not least as higher oil prices and the resilience of the US economy had already been unsettling investors' inflation expectations. And all of this has meant that the timing of this week's publication of a more optimistic economic outlook from the IMF was, dare I say, a little unfortunate. And that's because one of the most notable themes that emerged from the IMF's latest economic outlook was the resilience of the world economy in recent months, which in turn led to some fairly significant upward revisions to its GDP outlook for several large economies, including to the United States. Now, those new forecasts are, however, arguably now subject to some downside risks, certainly if the geopolitical instability in the Middle East escalates further from here. At the time of recording this podcast, that certainly seems to be the case in the here and now. Now, the most important channel, of course, via which this could generate economic instability is higher oil prices. Although heightened risk aversion in the Middle East and more broadly among global investors could also hamper economic activity. On the oil market front, Iran, of course, plays a pretty crucial role in the market due to its significant oil reserves and its overall production capacity. More broadly, the Middle East holds about half of the world's oil reserves. It accounted for 33% of global oil production in 2022. It almost goes without saying, therefore, that any disruptions or changes in the region's oil production or its exports could significantly affect the market and push oil prices sharply higher. And this would follow a period where oil prices have, of course, generally been on the rise since the beginning of this year. And that in turn, at least in my view, has been a major factor in slowing down or even reversing disinflationary trends in many countries. And as a result, I think it's an underappreciated reason for why expectations for looser monetary policies, especially in the US, have lately been pared back and contributing, therefore, to a little bit of financial volatility. And just for the record, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence against this backdrop that oil prices appear to have enjoyed an extremely close relationship and a lead relationship at that with US Treasury yields over the past few months, as we illustrate in one of our charts in our accompanying publication. Let's turn the focus now more onto Asia and on some of its recent developments. China, of course, had a lot of data published this week. What's the story there, Tian Yong?
Thank you, Andy. So China was a focal point in Asia this week as it reported its Q1 and March numbers. The economy posted better than expected real GDP results for Q1, with growth accelerating to 5.3% year-on-year. So the bumper came from net exports, which contributed to growth for the first time in 6 quarters. Looking at China's March numbers, however, we saw rather disappointing readings in industrial production and sales, with growth rates slowed towards the end of the quarter. With that said, we saw growth in fixed asset investment pick up to 4.5% during the month. On balance, it was quite a positive week from China, although perhaps we need to keep an eye on the slowing growth rate seen in March and on the external risk factors that you mentioned earlier. Moving elsewhere to India, we saw the country kicking off its general elections today. The elections will span 7 phases over 44 days, with nearly a billion people to head to the polls over the period. India is going into elections on solid footing, with most of its recent economic readings being rather encouraging. On the currency side, however, the Indian rupee continues to bear the brunt of a strengthening US dollar, having weakened to new record levels this week. With that said, the extent of the rupee's recent depreciation is considered quite mild compared to that of its Asian peers. Over to you, Andy.
Great, thanks. So let's now turn to the week ahead, where I suspect most eyes in the markets will be on how these geopolitical situation in the Middle East unfolds. The data calendar in the US and Europe, for the record, though, is fairly light. A key focus on the US front would be the preliminary Q1 GDP data, as well as on the March readings for core PCE inflation. Note on the corporate side, too, that a number of key technology bellwethers will be publishing their Q1 earnings data as well. Otherwise, it's going to be about surveys, I think, in Europe, with a lot of attention likely to be paid to the latest flash PMI releases for April, as well as on Germany's latest IFO survey. What about in Asia, Chanyeol?
Thank you again, Andy. So interest rate decisions will be of focus in Asia, with China to set its long prime rates and the Bank of Japan to decide on policy next week. Chinese banks, they seem likely to keep long prime rates steady after the People's Bank of China kept the one-year medium-term lending facility rate unchanged on Monday. So moving to Japan, while the central bank is largely not seen tightening its policy further in April, the outcome of its upcoming meeting is nonetheless important. Specifically, analysts will keep an eye on the bank's quarterly outlook report, which will contain updated economic projections. Also, analysts will likely be keen on any new language hinting at possible intervention to prop up a weak yen. So that's all from me on Asia, Andy.
Great. Thank you very much. Let's leave it there for today. Thanks, everyone, as usual, for listening in. Further analysis on these issues can be found in our latest Charts of the Week publication, which accompanies this podcast. Otherwise, have a great week ahead.